The book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and I desire your prayers this morning that the Lord would help us as we look in His Word. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. So you pray for us this morning. And let's start reading in verse number 54 down through the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll read verse 54 down through verse 58. The Bible says, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we do come today, and I want to thank you for your many blessings. I want to thank you for all that you've done for us, and I pray for your help this morning as we look in the Word of God. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would give us what we stand in need of as thy people. Lord, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that you would show them their great need of salvation. Lord, as your word says that a person must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is so important that we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for your help. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray for great liberty to preach thy word. Bring those things to my mind which you'd have me to say, and help me to forget those things which are unnecessary and unneedful today. I pray that, Lord, you would be in the revival. I pray that you would be with the evangelist as he comes, and just help us as thy people. Help us as a church that we might experience revival in our midst, in our hearts. Lord, our nation, we pray for our country this morning as well. So help us now. We come asking these things in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, let's go back and read verse number 57 one more time, and that's where we'll start at this morning. The Bible says in verse number 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And what a great word that is in verse number 57 there. And what I want to preach on this morning is that word, or the subject of victory. That's a pretty good word, isn't it? We like victory. Now, I've noticed this morning, I've not heard anybody talking about the game yesterday. Before, you know, earlier this week, that's what everybody was talking about. Talking about the game, talking about the crowd, talking about the people, talking about being on national television and all of these things. And I mean, everybody was excited about the game. But as I come in this morning, nobody was talking about the game. The reason nobody was talking about the game is because, well, we were awful. And if you didn't hear about it, you didn't know about it, and it looked pretty bad. I didn't go to the game. I watched the first part of it on television, and it was pretty bad. It was we looked pretty not good. You know, I hate to say it like that. It hurts me. But you know, we didn't win. But if ASU would have won, you know, everybody would have been talking about the game. Even though they come to church to worship the Lord and think about the things of God, people would have been talking about the game. It couldn't have been helped. that people would have mentioned the game as they came together, as they saw one another, and people of like mind, and maybe you knew somebody that went or watched it or that was interested, and there would have been a lot of talk about the game. Victory, as we think about it, victory is celebrated. When we win, when we have victory in our lives, we celebrate those things. And we all like to win. If you don't like to win, there's something wrong with you. I don't understand that. If I play checkers with my 8-year-old, I want to win. And I'm going to celebrate it when I do. And so we all like to win. We like to be number one. And we like to be on a winning team or associated with a winning team. We like to defeat our enemies, even though, you know, you just think about something like football. It's not real enemies, but, you know, for a while, you're the good guy, they're the bad guy. And we like to see our enemies defeated. We like to win. We like to have victory in our lives. And if you're here today and you're a child of God, you ought to rejoice in what the Bible says in verse number 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I noticed as I come to church this morning, nobody was talking about the game. Well, that's because we lost. But on the other hand, I noticed this. Nobody was talking about the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think that we get tired of being on the winning side? Do you think that we get so used to being on the winning side and having victory in our lives that we just become used to it and it really doesn't mean very much to us and we're sort of just bored with it all? Because nobody I talked to this morning, including myself, was talking about the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, if we're really winners, if we're on the winning side, if we have saw that our enemy has been defeated, then we ought to be rejoicing and celebrating and happy in the things of God today, even though things in the world may not go our way as the children of God. As God's people, we're on the winning side. And we have victory by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. But a lot of times we don't act like we're on the winning team. We don't act like we have victory. We act, in fact, a lot of times like we've been defeated. And that we're not winners. And we don't have any hope of being on the winning side. Isn't that sad? Isn't that directly contradictory to what the Word of God teaches us? Here in the Bible, look at it again. The Bible said, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, I want to just preach today on some things about victory and how to think about victory and look at what it means to be victorious. First of all, let me point out that victory is certain. Victory is certain. Let's read these verses again, starting in verse 54. The Bible says this, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's talking about the subject of the resurrection. It is also talking about the subject of dying and what happens to us after we die. It's talking about when the Lord comes again and the trump of God sounds and we are changed from being corruptible in these mortal bodies to being incorruptible in a body made like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what it's talking about in verse 54 when it says, when this corruptible, talking about this dying body that we live in, shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So victory today is a certain thing. You may not see it going on in your life. You may not feel this morning like you're very victorious. In fact, a lot of people that are truly saved by the grace of God, they go through life and they are sad a lot of times. And they may be depressed about things and they may not feel very victorious. In fact, if life was a game, you could spend a lot of your life being down from the very first quarter. I tell you, it didn't take me long yesterday when I watched a little bit of the game on television. It didn't take me long to say to myself, I'm glad I didn't buy a ticket to go to that. I'm glad I didn't get in all that crowd to go over there. And that I could see it wasn't going to be a very exciting thing. In fact, it is a painful thing. Sometimes our life seems to be like that. That right from the very beginning we get we are defeated. It seems like we have problems, we have trials, we have troubles that we go through, and it seems like that nothing seems to go our way. You know, they talk about that a lot in games, and it doesn't matter what game you're talking about. But for a team to win, they've got to have some things go that their way. They've got to have some good breaks. The ball has to bounce right. You just got to have things go your way. But a lot of times in life, it seems like, well, nothing's going my way. And I can't get a break. And one thing happens and I think it's going to be all right. And another thing, you know, it's like one step forward and two steps back sometimes. We may live our whole lives like that until we get down to the very last seconds of the game or of our life, and you know it's been a rough go. But if you're a child of God, when you take the last breath, or when the trump of God sounds, you'll realize you're on the winning side. When a child of God dies and we are so sad about that sometimes to the point that we act like there's no such thing as heaven. I'll tell you, sometimes who I feel sorry for is the ones left living. Because we've got to go through the heat of the battle. We've still got things ahead of us in our lives that are going to be very, very hard. But a child of God, a person that's really been saved by the grace of God, I'm telling you, when they draw their last breath, they're on the winning side. Death is swallowed up in victory. That's what the Bible says here in verse number 54. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I've saw it over and over and over again in my ministry. People suffer and they go through hard, terrible things. But if you're a child of God and you take that last breath, all that suffering is over. All that tribulation is over. All those trials, all those troubles. Death is swallowed up in victory. Life and it is hard sometimes and all the things that we go through. But as a child of God, victory is certain. And let me tell you something else. You don't have to wait till you die to get the victory. But there's some victories along the way. Downstairs, going to the Sunday school rooms, I've noticed, and it's been on the wall down there ever since Vacation Bible School, but the theme of our Vacation Bible School, Romans 8:38, one of the things they talked about was, but we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. As a child of God, do you know what it means to be a conqueror? That means to be a winner. That means to be victorious. That means to be on the winning side. That means not to be defeated all the time. But by and through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. So as a child of God this morning, although things in the world may not go our way and our teams may lose and we may lose at business, we may lose at a whole lot of things. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have victory today. In fact, victory is certain. Victory is already. We sing that song sometimes. Victory is already won at Calvary. That's the theme of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. If He be not risen, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, if He be not risen, our faith is in vain. We are yet in our sins. We are of all men most miserable, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's risen. He's alive today. Victory is certain. Number two, let's look down at verse number 57. Number two, victory is contained. In verse 57, there's something you ought to underline. It says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, and here's the word you need to underline, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory is contained through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved by the grace of God, nowhere in the Bible does God promise that you will always win at everything that you do. In fact, in life, you're going to be defeated a lot of times. But victory is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it be better to understand it like this. Notice what it does not say. It does not say, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our preacher, Win Greer. Boy, you'd be in trouble. Do you know a lot of Christians? Their spirituality is lived through their pastor, through their church. But the only thing they get from God all week long is what the preacher says on Sunday morning. If you only eat once a week, if you only get something from God's Word once a week on Sunday morning for about 35, 40 minutes, you're going to be pretty poorly spiritually. The Bible doesn't say, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our pastor. The Bible does not say, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our sports teams, through our recreation, through our, here's how it is. If ASU had beat Tennessee, boy, everybody'd be way up here. If ASU had beat Miami, boy, they'd tore the town down. If they did, and they might have, I don't know. But we could still have a losing year and end up at the bottom of what? And then everybody be sad. What if you was a Dallas Cowboys fan? You'd have no victory. You'd get all up for a season and you'd be all excited, and the first game your quarterback get hurt. And that happens every year. And I'm not a Dallas Cowboy fan. My wife is. And I don't know why. But you see what I'm saying? If our happiness, if our victory was based upon the things of this world, your victory, your happiness would be temporary at the very best. If you had a team that was a dynasty, it only lasts a little while. And they're still going to lose. No, nobody wins all the time except the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody wins every game, everything that they do, everything that they attempt outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the things in this life. The Bible doesn't say, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through the money that we have, through the success that we have, through the education that we have. I mean, you just go right on down the line. Here's what the Bible says. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the love of the Father, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This world will let you down. Things will let you down. Our own health will let us down. We say, oh, I've got my health and I've got my family and I've got this and I've got that and I couldn't ask for anything else. We could all be gone tomorrow. Could all be gone by the end of the week. Your health gone, your job gone, your money gone, your this gone and that gone. But the Lord, He's not going anywhere. The Bible doesn't say, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory. Oh, if we could just get Donald Trump as our president. Oh, if we could just get Hillary as our president, things would be all right. No, they're not going to be all right. It's not going to be happiness. There's no victory in those things. There's only victory. Victory is contained. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only certain victory. All victory is wrapped up in that right there. If I have the Lord Jesus Christ, then I lose everything. I can still give thanks and praise unto God. Say, preacher, is that? Well, that's how it happened to Job. Remember Job in the Bible? Job lost everything. And his wife said, you know, what is there left for you, man? Why don't you just curse God and die? She didn't say part of what I said, but I can just imagine in my mind. Job, you've lost everything. What did Job say? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He hated the day of his birth and wished it had never been born, but he still said, blessed be the name of the Lord, although I've lost it all. My only hope is in Him. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can lose everything as a child of God, but if we have Him, we have it all. We'll never be defeated as long as we live our lives and we remember and underline that little word through. But all defeat in our lives comes outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside of His will. Do you know the will of God is important? You know, we're not going through life without any direction and any guidance whatsoever. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you have a loving Savior that put you here for a reason, for a purpose, and He's got something for you to do. And that is God's will for your life. But you get outside of God's will and you're going to find there's not much victory there. You get outside of God's will. You get outside of God's ways. You get outside of God's word. Defeat, defeat, defeat. And I've been there and some of you've been there. And God is good to let us get back where He wants us to be. That's the place of victory. Outside of that, there is no victory. There's no hope. There's nothing outside of Him. You got to stick with Him. If you want to be on the winning side, victory is contained by and through our Lord Jesus Christ. And last of all this morning, let me point out in verse number 58 that victory is contingent. Now that means that it's based upon something very important. Verse number 58, the Bible says this, therefore, my beloved, therefore, let me just stop. When you find therefore in the Bible, you go back and see what it's there for, what he's just been saying. And he's been talking about our victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, that it is certain. In verse number 57, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, because we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Well, somebody says, well, preacher, I thought the Lord already done everything. Well, He has. He's done everything you and I need in order to have victory in our lives. But that doesn't mean there's nothing for you to do. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Victory is contingent upon, there's that little four-letter word. And it's a bad word to some people. They don't like it, but it's the word work. You see that in verse number 58? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Victory is contingent upon work, labor, steadfast, unmovable, sticking with it, staying with it, going back at it after you've been knocked down and getting up again and going and laboring in the Lord. Now, I've used a lot of football analogy and things like that. ASU's had two tough losses. It's going to be hard on them. But you know what? They can still have a winning season, but it's going to depend on what they do on Monday morning. If they give up and say, oh, we've lost two big games and made us look bad and all like that, yeah, they'll probably have a losing season. But if they get back at it and they work hard and they get their mind right and all like that, they can still have a winning season. And our Christian life is exactly the same way. So you lost at something. So you got defeated at one thing. So you failed at something you tried. So you've been trying to get close to God, but seem like now you're farther away than you were before. What is all that? What are we supposed to do? It is contingent. Victory is contingent upon. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that. I know that He saved me. I know that I'm a child of God. But that does not mean that I don't have to pray. That does not mean that I don't ever pick up my Bible and read it. That does not mean that I don't ever witness to anybody. That does not mean that I'm not concerned about the will of the Lord. It doesn't mean that I am not concerned about revival. I'm telling you, we need revival as a church. Now, are we going to get revival? Is God going to meet with us and move in our midst and we just come in like, I hadn't really thought about it. Oh, revivals this week? I didn't know. You think we'll have much of revival if that's the way we come? The Bible said, and the Lord Jesus said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why don't we have revival like we'd like to see? We need revival. We live in a wicked day. Hearts are cold. Sin is prevalent on every hand. I could give a long list this morning. I don't think anybody would disagree that we didn't need to have revival. Are you as close as you ever been before? Probably not. If you are, good. Pray for the rest. Pray for revival, but we're going to have to want it. We're going to have to desire it. We're going to have to come looking for God to do something. We're going to have to work in prayer. We're going to have to spend some secret time with the Lord. God, I need revival in my midst, in my heart. I'm not exactly right with everybody and everything as I should be. Yes, we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, but right after that He says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Labor is hard. Do anybody know that? You recognize that? Labor is a hard thing. And it's something that you never get done. Does anybody mow their yard? Haven't we been blessed with good yards this summer? It seems like every time I get done mowing, I turn around and it needs mowing again. That to me seems like labor in vain. Sort of like you ladies in cleaning the house. Kim will clean the house a whole lot of times and we come along and the very first day, within hours, we've messed it up. We've dropped something on the floor. We left crumbs on the counter. And she comes along and she says, oh, I don't even know why I try. And I say, well, just think what a mess it would be if you didn't do anything. We'd be like that show, The Hoarders. You ever seen that? If you think your house and your situation's bad, watch that show. It'll make you feel a whole lot better. It's bad. But if you didn't do nothing, what would your yards look like? What would your house look like? What would the church look like? What's your Christian life look like? If you don't do nothing to maintain, if you don't do nothing to work and to labor, listen to me this morning, it's not in vain. It does do good. Try and see. come to revival this week with a heart and a mind. You know, I want to move up in my spiritual life. I want to be closer to God on the end of the week than I was when I went to church on Sunday morning. Would you not confess? You know, preacher, I need that. I would confess to you this morning, I need that. Man, the world and it's on and it's going and all the time. It's just like a big vacuum cleaner on your spiritual life. Just sucks the life out of you sometimes. We need revival. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. I love that. What we're doing. You ever come to church? Oh, what's the use? There's a use. It's not in vain. There's much to do. I'll close with this. When I pastored over at Forest Grove, our Sunday school class, there was a little plaque on the wall. I used to read that plaque when I'd go in and sat down and get ready for Sunday school class, and it said this. It said, only one life to live will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You ever heard that little poem? Well, how true that is. Your labor is not, you say, oh, I like victory. Do we really? We have victory. But what do we do to enjoy that victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ? I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.